In this last week of 2011, APRN and our member station reporters from across the state are taking a moment to reflect back on some of the stories that were significant for Alaskans. Today, we'll hear from the first three in our week-long series.
This is Ed Ronco from KCAW in Sitka. The best thing about my job is that people invite me into their lives, even if it's only for a few minutes. So back in May, I went to Pelican to do some stories on the town's economy. The economy there has seen better days. But while I was there, I met a guy named Norm Carson, who runs the local Chamber of Commerce. Back in the 1960s, Norm worked at the fish plant in Pelican, which used to employ scores of people. And when it closed a few years ago, the town's population dropped from a few hundred to just fewer than 90 people. I wasn't sure how many people would want to talk about what happened at the fish plant, and I was almost certain there would be no way to get inside. Norm made sure I did.
There's water on the floor. I can't quite see. And actually, the roof is separated up above. So
the people I met in Pelican believe very deeply that the future of the place is bright and that the best days are yet to come. Norm Carson is one of those people.
There's hope. A small-scale cold storage, maybe a value-added fish processing here. Perhaps a fish hatchery down here at Pelican Creek.
You sound optimistic about a lot of the things around here.
Well, why not? I mean, just take a look at the country. It's a beautiful place to live, and why wouldn't you want to be here?
That was the first day of three I spent in Pelican, and just a small sample of the great people I met, all of whom, by the way, were willing to share their stories. I even made it to the famous Rose's Bar and Grill, where you can stand up on the bar and sign your name on the ceiling. You have to do it quickly, though, or Rose, at age 78, will pull down your pants. I wore snug pants, but if you look closely, you'll notice I definitely signed my last name a little more quickly than my first. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
I'm Matthew Smith from KNOM in Nome. One of my favorite stories of the year was the ongoing debate over whether or not to fluoridate Nome's water. After Fairbanks ceased fluoridation of its own water supply earlier this year and the fluoridation equipment in Nome broke down, the city council and the utility board debated the merits of fluoridating the water at all. We covered this issue in news in an extended profile interview with Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's Chris Fish, who helps bring fluoridation to rural communities, and we also featured the issue on our Sounding Board call-in show. We heard a whole range of comments from listeners in our community, from dental workers with decades of experience who supported fluoridation, to staunch anti-fluoridation activists who said fluoridating water is a violation of the Nuremberg Code and medicates people without their consent. In the end, Nome Joint Utility accepted the offer by ANTHC. New equipment to fluoridate Nome's water should be in place pretty soon. In Nome, I'm Matthew Smith.
This is Libby Casey, APRN's Washington correspondent. My mission here is to sort through the political battles and legislative lingo and figure out what it all means for actual people. One of those moments came last spring when I talked to a family outside Haines. Their 25-year-old daughter had cancer, and they wondered if the new national healthcare law meant she could stay on their insurance. Here's Jeff Bocart talking about his daughter getting sick.
It was quite a shock to all of us and the whole community because she really was health itself, tall, strapping gal who canned her own fish and did her own gardens and long been conscientious of what she ate. It was just one of those things that kind of showed everybody that this kind of thing can happen to anybody.
It turned out that because Bocart is a retired teacher, his daughter was not covered. Insuring grown kids isn't mandatory for state retiree programs, and Governor Parnell chose not to implement it because of cost. Their story took the political battle to the personal level and asked questions about what state and federal dollars should be spent on. There is a happy ending. The Bocart's daughter is now healthy and working on paying off her medical bills. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
Tomorrow, we'll continue our look at 2011 with reports from Fairbanks, Dillingham, and Juneau.